Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Today we are going to talk about some love-hate relationships in the Bible. I mean, you've heard the expression, they have a love-hate relationship. Well, the truth of the matter is, as you know, a person either loves or hates the other person. He doesn't have both of these feelings at the same time. What generally happens is that he or she starts out loving the person, he or she now hates. And if they're still together, they simply tolerate each other. They don't love each other. Now, the Bible gives us some good examples of someone who started out loving another person but ended up hating him or her, as the case may be, after a certain event, after something happened between them. So let's look at these. Notice these love-hate relationships that are in the Bible. The first one we'll see today is the one between Saul and David. Saul and David. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, Saul had an evil spirit that came on him and troubled him. And so his servant, Saul's servant, said, "Let's seek out a man who is a cunning player on a harp. And it shall come to pass, when the evil spirit from God is upon thee, that he shall play with his hand, and thou shalt be well." So they went and got David. David was cunning in playing, according to 1 Samuel 16, 18. He was a mighty valiant man, a man of war, prudent in matters, and comely person, and the Lord was with him. So they brought David to Saul. And in verse 21 of 1 Samuel chapter 16, David came to Saul and stood before him, watch it, and he loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer. So Saul had a great affection. The Bible says he loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer. So Saul said to Jesse in verse 22, "Let David, I pray thee, stand before me, for he hath found favor in my sight." Well, things certainly changed. You know, not long after that, Israel was in the battle with the Philistines, and that's where David killed Goliath in 1 Samuel chapter 17. And then after that, Saul set David over the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people. And everything was fine until 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 7. And they came back from a victory over the Philistines. The women in 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 7, answered one another as they played and said, "Saul hath slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. And Saul was very wroth, and the saying displeased him." Verse 9 says, "Saul eyed David from that day and forward." And look what happens in 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 10. "It came to pass on the morrow that the evil spirit from God came upon Saul, and he prophesied in the midst of the house. And David played with his hand as at other times. And there was a javelin in Saul's hand, and Saul cast the javelin, for he said, I will smite David even to the wall with it. And David avoided out of his presence twice." Verse 12, "And Saul was afraid of David, because the Lord was with him and was departed from Saul." You see how that relationship now began to really change? Saul envied David because they attributed more success in battle to David than they did to Saul. And then Saul feared him because Saul knew that God was with David. Look at verse 25, 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 25. Saul said, "Thus shall you say to David, the king desireth not any dowry, but 100 foreskins of the Philistines." What is this? David is going to marry Michal. I'm not talking about a man. I'm talking about Saul's daughter, Michal, M-I-C-H-A-L. That's there in 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 20. Going to marry her. And the king said, "I don't desire a dowry. I just want 100 foreskins of the Philistines." Why? He said to be avenged of the king's enemies. That's the statement he made. That's not what he intended. Verse 25 goes on to say, "But Saul thought to make David fall by the hand of the Philistines." In other words, he set him up. Saul set David up hoping that in David's zeal to kill Philistines and get these foreskins, that he would die in the battle. And David didn't die in the battle. He came back with 200 foreskins. And then look at verse 28. 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 28 and 29. Saul saw and knew that the Lord was with David and that Michal, Saul's daughter, loved him. And Saul was yet the more afraid of David. And Saul, listen, Saul became David's enemy continually. Well, that's really quite a change. He starts out in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 21, when he first sees him, he loved him greatly. And after successes in battle and marriage to Michal, the Bible says that Saul became David's enemy continually. So Saul started out loving David greatly and ended up hating him greatly. He tried to kill him with a javelin. He tried to get his servants to kill him. He chased him with his army. He eventually ran David out of the country. Well, what's the moral to this? Why do we want to study this? If you're going to do something for the Lord, and someone else that you know envies the work that the Lord is doing through you, they may likely try to destroy you, even if they say they love you, or even if they did truly love you before. I can tell you many instances of people that I've known in the ministry who have started out with a group of people behind them that love them, and I mean truly love them, would do anything for them. But as the Lord began to use the person that they loved, then they began to envy him, and then they began to hate him. And then they became his enemy. Listen, if you're going to do something for the Lord, some kind of work for the Lord that God wants you to do, just be prepared for adversity, even from your friends. And I say that in quotations. Truly, they are your friends when you start. But after a while, they can't stand it. A perfect example comes to mind. I had a very good friend in the Philippines, and he was a missionary there for 40 years. When he first got there, all the missionaries were in Manila, and they were all hanging out at the Intercontinental Hotel on a regular basis, enjoying good fellowship and leading a soul to Christ here and there, not getting a lot done. Now, this fellow ended up moving from Manila, going to Baguio City, which was a resort area, and winning many souls to Jesus Christ, and planting a church and starting a Bible Institute, and then planting churches out of that home church until it became an absolute embarrassment to the other missionaries who were still hanging out at the Intercontinental Hotel, drinking coffee and leading a soul to Christ here and there. And they became envious. And they became so envious that they put out a bad rumor and a bad report on my friend. And they were all connected to a fellowship. And word got out in that fellowship, this rumor, and my friend lost just about every dime of support that he had. And he was in the middle of getting ready to do one of the greatest works that God had called him to do there, up in the Kalinga jungle. And now he's without resources, financial resources, but he wasn't without God. And all those folks who really said they loved him turned on him when God got doing something, and it was because of envy, just like Saul and David. So just be prepared. Or let's say this has already happened to you and you're bitter about it right now. Get over your bitterness, because this problem of somebody loving you and supporting you and then just cutting you off goes with the territory. It happened between Saul and David, and it happened, you know, the disciples fled when the trouble started before Jesus. They didn't hate him, but they got scared. And let me tell you something. It will happen to you if you're doing something for the Lord. It just does. So be prepared for that. And don't get bitter when it happens, and don't try to fight back. Just go on. All right, notice another one. Amnon and Tamar in 2 Samuel chapter 13. 2 Samuel chapter 13. Love-hate relationships. 2 Samuel chapter 13. And look at verse 1. It came to pass after this that Absalom, the son of David, had a fair sister whose name was Tamar. And Amnon, the son of David, so that's the son of David by another wife, loved her. Verse 2, Amnon was so vexed that he fell sick for his sister Tamar, for she was a virgin, and Amnon thought it hard for him to do anything to her. Now, Amnon had a friend who was a first cousin. His name was Jonadab, and Jonadab set up a plan whereby Amnon could be with Tamar. In verse 4, Amnon said to Jonadab, "I love Tamar, my brother Absalom's sister." You see that? So it was said that he loved her, and he even testified of his love for her. Okay, well then, without going through a lot of detail, they set up a plan. Tamar comes over, makes some biscuits for him. Then Amnon runs everybody else out of the room. Now he's alone with Tamar, and then she comes up to his chamber to feed him the bread, and he grabs her. And now he's going to force her, and she pleads with him not to do this. And even says in verse 13, "Whither shall I cause my shame to go? As for thee, thou shalt be as one of the fools in Israel. Now therefore, I pray thee, speak unto the king, for he will not withhold me from thee." Howbeit, he wouldn't hearken unto her voice in verse 14, but being stronger than she, forced her and lay with her. So he got what he wanted. He loved her, and then he lay with her. All right, now, 2 Samuel chapter 13, verse 15. "Then Amnon hated her exceedingly, so that the hatred wherewith he hated her was greater than the love wherewith he had loved her. And Amnon said unto her, Arise, be gone." Now, you know something? This episode between Amnon and Tamar is what commonly happens with young lovers. Young lovers today, and there are so many of them in schools and even in churches now. So a teenage girl, teenage boy, hormones have kicked in. The boy says to the girl, "I love you," and she believes him. And really what he wants is just what Amnon wanted. He wants to lie with her. And then after he does, you know, he's done with her. He doesn't want her anymore. Now listen, because you see it in the Bible and because you see it among your acquaintances, you've heard of this. You know, you didn't just hear of it in the Bible. You know somebody that's gone through this. It may have even happened to you. That's why you don't want to follow the world in their teenage fornication. That's why Paul said, "Flee fornication." He said, "Flee youthful lusts." Now, if you do that, if you follow what Paul said, if you seek the counsel of the Bible and realize what happened between Amnon and Tamar could happen to you, and so you decide, "I'm not going to follow this world in teenage fornication," you may feel like an oddball for not going along with the trend. But you will save yourself very much heartache. I mean, that boy who says he loves you will hate you one day, likely. That girl who says she loves you, she'll hate you one day, likely. It happens so frequently that you almost come to expect it. And here's the strange thing. The hatred that they have for you will be far greater than the love they had for you, even though what they understood in their own heart was love. They believed that it was love. And when they blow you off like a bad habit, you are going to be sick. And you're going to be ashamed, and you are going to be heartbroken, and you're going to remember that we had this conversation today, and you're going to say, why did not I follow the counsel of that preacher? Why did not I follow the instruction of the Bible? Why did I let this happen to me? And you let it happen to you because you don't realize what it is to be in a love-hate relationship where somebody who says that he loves you can turn on you and hate you more than he loved you, or vice versa. She can do that to her, to you if you're a fella. Now let's look at another one. Just take counsel from the Scripture. Just see how it is. God put these things in here to let you know this is how it goes. Turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. And look at verse 24. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24. This is you and God. You and God. That's right. I've talked about Saul and David. And we've talked about Amnon and Tamar. Now we're going to talk about you and God. You say, what do we got to talk about here? Well, we got to talk about Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. The Bible says, no man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other. We're talking about love-hate relationships here. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Now, here's what happens. Sometimes people start out loving God, start out loving and serving God. And then what happens is money enters the picture. And when money enters the picture, pretty soon you're serving the money and hating God. Let's go through it again. You start out loving and serving God. You're young. You haven't started your living yet. And you really do. As much as you know how and as much as your heart has capacity, you love God and you believe you love God truly with all your heart. And then you get a little older and get a job and start having some of your own spending money and start doing well at what you're doing. And the people you work for compliment you on how you're doing. Money enters the picture. And pretty soon you start serving the money. And you're not as faithful as you used to be to the things of the Lord, to your Bible reading, to prayer, even to church services. And the next thing you know, you're out altogether. You started out loving and serving God. Then you started loving the money and serving the money and hating God. You say, but I don't hate God. You know something? You don't think you do, but look what the Bible says. The Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. That's 1 Timothy 6:10. The love of money is the root of all evil. And then when you read in Colossians chapter 3 about the things that we are supposed to mortify through the Spirit, you read that we are to mortify covetousness because covetousness is idolatry. It's defined in Colossians 3:5 and Ephesians 5:5 as idolatry. Well, you know what idolatry is? That's having a god, another god, before the Lord God. That's the problem. That's the problem that the rich young ruler had. Remember that guy came to Jesus? And he says, good master, what good thing must I do to inherit eternal life? And the Lord says, keep the commandments. And he said, which ones? And the Lord told him all the ones except 1 and 10 and 2, because his sin was covetousness. And the fellow said, well, I've done all that from my youth, but what lack I yet? He said, go sell all that you have. and come follow me, and you'll have eternal life, and you'll have treasure in heaven. And the fellow couldn't do it. Why? He had great possessions. And you know what the problem was? He loved them. So you would think that that young man who came up to Jesus loved him the way that he greeted him. But in fact, he hated him when it came down to a choice between his two masters, God and money. Listen, people who worship idols, the Bible says, they hate God. Exodus chapter 20. When God's giving the Ten Commandments, Exodus chapter 20, verses 3 through 5, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image." You say, well, money's not a graven image. Have you looked at the faces on the dollar bills and the faces on the coins? Come on now. "Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is heaven above or that is in earth beneath," those men's faces and women's faces on those coins and on those dollar bills. Yes, they are people. They are in the earth, and that is in the water under the earth. "Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me." I'm telling you, you don't think you hate him, and God said you do. If you're serving money, you are hating God. Why? You cannot serve two masters. You will hate the one and love the other. So you got to be careful with this. And that is of serving two masters, whoever the other master may be. Listen, when you have a master on earth, like you're an employee, you serve him as unto the Lord, Ephesians chapter 6 says. You don't serve him independently of the Lord. You better be careful with this and be especially careful when it comes to money. You say, what should I do? Love God and hate the money. Don't you serve it. It'll get you, man. It will get you. In these love-hate relationships, we've seen Saul and David and how when you do something for the Lord, somebody else who envies you can turn on you. We've seen Amnon and Tamar. Somebody can say he loves you until he lies with you, and then he's going to hate you worse than he loved you. And then you and God. You start out loving God and start serving that money, and next thing you know, you're hating God and don't even know it. And let's look at one more. You and your flesh. You and your flesh. Ephesians 5:29. Paul, in talking about how a husband should love his wife, he says he's supposed to love him as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. But he also goes on to say in verse 29 if he loves his wife, he loves himself. And then he says in verse 29, "For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church." Now, you know, when you're growing up, you start out loving the flesh. As a matter of fact, you'll give it anything it wants. People say, well, I have such a hard time with appetite. It's just because you love your flesh. You'll give it anything it wants. So you start out loving your flesh, and Paul said that's a common thing. That's a natural thing. But here's the problem. Then you get saved. And after you get saved, if you continue to love your flesh, you're going to have trouble because you'll be a carnal Christian. Look what Jesus Christ said in Luke chapter 14, verse 26. Jesus Christ said in Luke chapter 14, verse 26, "If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea," watch it, "and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple." He said discipleship, Jesus said, discipleship involves hating your own self. That is, when what yourself wants, what your flesh wants, is contrary to what God wants for you, then you got to hate it. And it's true of your family. If your family, you know, let's say is religious and they say, you can't go serve God, then he says, you know, you're going to have to hate that family and love God. Or otherwise, if you try to love them, they're gonna dominate and you're going to end up not doing what God wants you to do with your life. Now, if you decide to love God and you decide to love the things of God, you're going to end up hating your flesh. Why? Because in your flesh, you cannot please God. Romans 8:8. They that are in the flesh cannot please God. End of story, period. They that are in the flesh cannot please God. And then Paul, in Romans chapter 7, you know, actually goes through and does that whole beautiful testimony of why we need the Spirit of God in us, because he says, I know that in my flesh dwelleth no good thing, for the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me, and I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. Well, that's a terrible situation to be in. And listen, that's what's so tough about the church today. Because today, men are lovers of their own selves. Paul said, in the last days, perilous times shall come. And what did he say? Men shall be lovers of their own selves. They don't hate their life so that they can abound in love for the Lord and abound in love for others. You got to hate that old man. You got to start loving that new man, that work of Jesus Christ in your life. I'll tell you something. If you'll break it off with the flesh and start loving God, you start loving the work that he's doing in you, the work of the new man in your life, you're going to be much happier. You're going to be much more content in the end. I know you loved your flesh. Well, why don't you give as much love as you had for your flesh to the work of Jesus Christ in your life, to the Lord, to God, to the Bible, to prayer, to the brethren, and watch God as he builds contentment in your life. Now be aware, a man who loves you now may hate you after he sees how God is using you for his glory. A man says he loves you in order to convince you to sleep with him and ends up showing you an unimaginable hatred after he's gotten what he wants. Be careful with that. The deep root of the love of money may cause you inadvertently to end up hating God. Be very careful about that. And if you don't start loving the new man and hating that flesh in you, you will never amount to much of a Christian. You'll be carnal, and you don't want to be carnal. May God bless you as you apply this message. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my, the number 3, bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.